Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Planestalkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I am your host, Will Benson, and I'm joined as always by my incredibly awesome, did really well, I think, Friday night co-host and a damn good dancer, Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you tonight?
One of those is a lie, one of those is a half-truth, and the other one you don't know about yet, so we'll have to go see which one's
which.
Oh,
no, you're a good dancer, I can tell, man. We can smell our own.
No, that's the lie.
Oh, is it the lie?
That is the absolute lie.
All right, well,
lie.
Let's get to... All right, so first of all, before we do anything else, as we like to do, we'd like to remind you that this episode of the Planestalkers Podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. With locations in both Catskill and on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Galleria in Poughkeepsie, New York, Kerwin's Game Store is the best place in gaming. Don't forget, you also get 5% off any online order when you use the promo code PLANESTALKERS at checkout. So make sure you do that. It's awesome. We're so glad to have it, and we're very thankful to Kerwin's.
Yep, that supports them and supports the show in turn.
And then, going on from that, we're going to do a little bit of housekeeping now at the start of every show, because we have some amazing, amazing, amazing news, and I can't be happy enough. It's amazing. Okay, guys, as you know, last week, a couple weeks ago, we announced we started a Patreon program to help grow and expand the show. And I am very pleased to announce that we have not one, not two, but three new patrons to report this week. Now, usually the ones who are always going to get announced at the show are at our Planeswalker level. However, this week, because it's so new and we're so thankful, I want to talk first about the person coming in at the token level. His name's Randy. And really, we want to thank you for being our second patron, Randy. Believe it or not, any level helps the show out a ton. So I want to thank you for coming alongside us. And as one of our first patrons, we are really proud to shout you out this week. We want to thank you. And now, but we also have two Planestalker level patrons. I want to first welcome Tim. He was our first patron, and he was actually right there at the Planeswalker level. And then I also want to welcome Ian, who signed up over the weekend. Tim is our first patron, is already going to be the winner, quote unquote, for this month's gaming event with either Aramis or I. And Ian and Tim will both be entered next month for the drawing for another Play My Deck event that we're going to do and stream. And we're going to put it on our secret, super secret Facebook group. So, guys, listen, if you want to, you know, find out more about what we're going to do, especially what's really kind of exciting is that in March we're going to do a direction of the podcast call on Skype. We're basically invite all of our Planeswalker level patrons to join us on a Skype conference call to give us some feedback in real time. We want to hear directly from you guys what you want to see. And since you're coming alongside us, we really think you should have a voice. You can find out more about our Patreon and what we offer at patreon.com/planestalkers. So, but with that, I also want to talk about what we're going to talk about tonight. It is Untapped, so of course the first thing we do is, even though I was in the hospital this week, well, you know, I'm a sucker. So, cold snap. So,
pretty sure that's not doctor's orders, but, you know,
whatever.
Yeah,
it's probably not. Hey, my heart's actually good. So, first thing we're going to talk about this week, we're going to talk about control, or we're going to talk about new decks that are emerging this week that we've been kind of seeing. And, you know, these are going to be, like, very, very... you know, bird's eye view, and these are kind of what we think. It's all opinion, so, you know, take it with as many grains of salt as necessary. That won't stop your heart. Combat phase tonight, we're going to talk about which archetype we think will go tier one and what will just be a flash in the pan. And then during our second main, we're going to talk about worlds. We're going to talk about a ton of other stuff. And then, and then we even have an email this week from Jamie who wants us to go over a deck list. So we've got a pretty packed show tonight. So, but now, Aramis, we were supposed to go Friday night and do the Friday night magic.
Yes.
However, I ended up, I've been having some issues, and I called the doctor, and the doctor heard my issues and some of the symptoms, and I mentioned the word, well, I was feeling tightness in my chest, and I'm a jolly fat guy. So he's like, okay, you're 46, you're somewhat overweight, and you have some chest pressure? No, here's what I need you to do. Where are you? I'm like, I'm at work. He's like, you're going to leave work, You're going to go to the nearest hospital. You're going to go into the emergency room, and you're going to tell them what's up. I argued with him about that because I was going to put myself in Albany Med because my wife lives 40 miles from there. I'm like, I'll tell you what. I'll go to the one near my house, okay? I will drive home. I've driven back and forth 4 times. I'm good. He didn't like it, but he allowed it. So I went to the hospital. It's not my heart. There's other things I got to check out. But I was in the hospital pretty much Thursday, and I got out Friday. And even though I joked with Wendy, I was in no condition to go. So how'd you do, though?
Well, there were only 6 of us this week.
Ooh.
And I believe part of the reason was because GP New Jersey was this weekend, which, by the way, was a huge GP.
That's what I'm hearing.
1,400 people in a place that could hold 1,500. So it was capacity.
I like that.
So there were only 6 of us, and we went 3 rounds. I went 2-1. I finished probably, like, I think, 2nd place.
Okay.
So 2nd or 3rd, something like that. But I ended up, what they did was, maybe it was because we're release weekend, I'm not sure, but I wasn't complaining. In addition to the promo packs, they also gave away boosters based on your win total. So I got an extra 3 booster packs of Theros, which I'm going to consider like a late birthday present. So.
Okay.
And I played an updated version of Esper Hero, like I was saying I was probably going to do, although I wanted to play this really sweet deck that I saw online the night before, and I was texting you cards that I was looking to get. It's a deck that runs off of Prime Speaker Vanifar, and it chains up basically to get a Nightmare Shepherd into play. And it uses, like, Corridor Monitors and the Hylia Tower Guard, I think it's called. The
Corridor Monitor?
Yeah.
Somebody's using that?
To untap Vanifar, to chain it into bigger creatures, and basically keep sacrificing stuff until you get, like, about 8 devotion on black devotion on the board. Sack something to get Gary, the Gray Speaker,
right,
or the Gray Merchant, and drain him, and then sack that again to drain him some more, to insta-kill them as early as turn 4. But they didn't have the Woe Striders that I was looking for. It was the release that just happened. They hadn't had a chance to sort out the cards that they had received yet. So it was cool. I had enough stuff to play Esper Hero with an updated deck list.
Did you go 3-1?
2-1, like I said. Yeah, 2-1. I lost to a really, really aggressive Boros Knights deck. I got to smash. It's like I had answers for it, but he was always like 2 turns ahead of me. And it's just, yeah. It was over very quickly, maybe like 10 minutes.
Ooh.
But it was fun, like it always is at Kerwin's. I had a good time. I'm hoping that when I go in a couple of weeks, they'll have more stuff for me to look at to pick up a couple of singles. And maybe, I don't know if I'm going to go back with Esper Hero. I don't know if I'm going to go with Azorius Control or Esper Control. Maybe try that Vanifar deck. I'm not sure. But it was a good time.
Very cool. I still don't know when I would play. I'm telling you the truth. I've been kind of diddling around with that my Azorius Flyers deck. But I'm kind of glad we're talking about what we're talking about today. And in fact, we might as well just get right into
Main Phase.
Because, I mean, you know, that's what we're talking about. So Main Phase today, we're going to talk a little bit about the decks that are emerging. So, and I got to be honest with you, with the stuff that went on this weekend, I mean, I'm not as, you know, up on the decks yet, like I said.
That's okay. I got you covered.
All right. Good to know. Because, I mean, you know me, too. I've got a lot of good decks. I just, you know, not sure which ones I want to roll with yet. So what do you see? I mean, I know the biggest one I'm seeing out there, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I have a strange feeling I'm going to put together the Esper Control. Because Esper Control is back, baby.
Yeah,
in a very real way.
It hasn't.
And Dream Trawler, it has everything to do with that.
Dream Trawler is the real deal. I was playing Dream Trawler in my updated Esper Hero deck. That is the control finisher that Control has been waiting for the last few years, because it draws you cards, it ends the game quickly, it protects itself. I mean, it's the complete package. The biggest drawback is that it's difficult to cast because you need double white, double blue. Not impossible, though. You know, you can, right, drop that thing on curve if you get a good enough hand, and if they don't have an answer for it immediately, they usually lose the game in short order because you're drawing 2 cards or more a turn, because as much as some people would like to think so, this thing's not questing beast. It's not legendary. So you can have multiple copies of this bad boy on the board at once, and oh my God, does it snowball so fast.
Well, and then some people are talking about that the enchantment too that does the blue and the white that basically is, what is it, the other blue enchantment.
Oh, Staggering Insight?
Yeah, Staggering Insight, which is nothing more than the old blue enchantment that every time you do damage, you get to draw cards.
Yeah, it's Curious Obsession with lifelink strapped onto it, and it took away the must attack rider.
Yes. Which, and I mean, I've been using that in my Azorius Flyers to some success.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that in any of the quote-unquote top-tier meta decks that have shown up, but there's a whole bunch of new decks that have popped up, and those are the ones that I'm really going to be talking about, because we all know about Sultai Ramp. We all know about Jeskai Fires. Azorius Control's been around. You know, there's Jund Food is still there, but there's some new stuff.
It seems like Jund Food is not going
to
be...
It's still there. It didn't really lose that much because it wasn't playing Oko to begin with.
Right, that's true.
So the first deck I'm going to touch on real quick is Rakdos Aristocrats. It's sort of like your black red sacrifice deck. I mean, it's pretty aggressive. Is. Basically, what it wants to do is it's getting a lot of value. It plays the Witches Oven Cat combo, mm-hmm. And it also, you know, it has Midnight Reapers and Woe Striders, so you get a bunch of value. Mayhem Devils to deal a bunch of damage. So it's the kind of deck that it wants to get a bunch of card advantage as quickly as possible and then just run you over with value as quickly as possible. And it does a pretty good job of that. Like I said, some of the key cards are Midnight Rider and Woe Strider. So it's a very low curve, very quick, very cheap deck for standard. I mean, you know, about $200 because the lands are the most expensive thing because you're looking at 4 Bloodcrypts and 4 Fabled Passage. So that's a pretty good one for people that are looking for an aggressive thing. Another deck that's emerged, no surprise, thanks to the Gray Merchant of Asphodel, aka Gary, is Mono Black Devotion. It's come back from Theros Standard to do Theros Beyond Death. So, bunch of stuff with a bunch of black pips. You have Ayara, First of Lochtwain, to get you some value. Yarok's Fenlurker to disrupt the hand a little bit. Agonizing Remorse as well. Bolas's Citadel for a little bit of spice. Again, just grind them out with value, get a bunch of stuff on the board, and then just you try to cast Gray Merchant and hit them for like 8 to 10 to 12 at a rip to end the game quickly if it looks like even for a second that it might be stalling. That one, I'm happy to see that one come back because, you know, Devotion's one of the new mechanics, or I guess a returning mechanic for Theros. And Gary was a big part of that back in the day, so it's good to see that come back, and the cards are there to support it.
Yeah, that's good. I'm pretty excited about that, too. I've noticed that. Gary's
definitely Gary. Two of the decks that I think you might be interested in, Benson, because I know you really love playing Mono Red.
I'm kind of looking at that, too. Yeah, I want to see that.
There's a Mono Red has sort of come back a little bit. It's Pack and Embercleave this time.
Of course it is.
Which, my God. So the big thing you want to do is you're trying to, again, get the stuff out very quickly. These are all aggressive decks. And yes, this is a control player talking about an aggressive deck. Please just calm down. Don't send too many hate mails. They kind of want... the most disgusting combo in this deck is Anax, Hardened in the Forge, and Embercleave.
Right.
Because you can drop Anax on turn 3 and... You know, you're probably going to have one or two other creatures on the board by the time that happens. So you're looking at 4 or 5 maybe red pips. So he's going to be a 5/3. You slap an Embercleave on him. He's an 8/4 double striking trampler on turn 4. I mean, you're looking at 16 damage right there. So not really too much as far as depth is concerned. You turn your dude sideways, you melt your opponent's face and hope for the best. If you're looking for a deck that's going to last a little bit longer...
Jeepers. Go on.
But along the same lines, there is a mono-white life deck that has made an appearance. And it's playing Daxos, it's playing Heliod. Linden, the Steadfast Queen, is seeing play in this deck, which I'm pretty happy with because it's a solid card. I mean, it was hard to cast because it was triple white. But a 3/3 Vigilance that gains you a life whenever a white creature you control attacks is not a terrible card if you're playing an aggressive deck. It gives you extra life to make your deck, you know, last longer, and you can survive crackbacks a little easier since you're not really playing defense. It does play 6 Planeswalkers, though, so just something to keep in mind. But it looks like it wants to get your life total as high as possible to sort of take advantage of things like a Johnny Strength of the Pride's ultimate, things of that nature. Even, you know, and put a bunch of +1/+1 counters on your creatures from Heliod.
Yeah, the white decks are going to be, I think they're going to be something along with the mono black. I'm not sure they're there yet. And again, I don't think you, man, Esper Control looks so freaking broken.
I've been playing a version of Esper Control over the last few days, and I finally got back to Platinum after not being there for, like, I don't know how long it's been since I was last Platinum. This one's pretty good. I mean, it's a little different than your typical control deck in that it doesn't play any main deck counterspells, and it only has a couple of Dovin's Veto in the sideboard. So basically, it has a little more hand disruption because it plays the four Thought Erasures, it plays the two Agonizing Memories to sort of, right, you know, make you discard a bunch of stuff. The Memories are especially good against the Titans and Elspeth and other stuff with Escape because you can exile it. It plays Dream Trawler, it plays Atriss, it plays Ashiok. So it's just, okay, your stuff's on the board, it's not going to stay there very long.
No.
And you just, you know, you try to hold off the game until you can win with a Dream Trawler. I mean, it plays a full set of Narsets, which is, you know, yeah, I'm glad to see her come back into Standard.
Huh?
I'm glad to see her come back into Standard because there's a lot of card draw out there with the Titans and, you know, Hydroid Krasis and Midnight Reaper and all that stuff. And to be able to shut that off, I've had a couple of opponents totally forget about the trigger. And they'll sacrifice a bunch of stuff to try to draw cards off of Midnight Reaper, or they'll cast Foulmire Knight for the card draw, and I'm like, mm-hmm, it doesn't work. And I've had at least two shame scoops because of it.
Yeah.
People forget what that card does.
Well, it's been a while.
It's been a little while, but I mean, she's good.
Oh, she's very good.
One card, though, that I think that was underrated going into the Standard environment, but has really taken off and it's found a great home in control decks is Elspeth Conquers Death.
Yes,
that saga is extremely good because for one, it exiles anything that costs three or more on your opponent's side. Then mm-hmm, it protects your board by making their spells more expensive. And if something died earlier in the game, say you had to discard an Ashiok or something, comes back with an extra loyalty counter on it. Or if it's a Dream Trawler, comes back with a +1/+1 counter. I mean, it's really, really good.
Yeah, that's kind of just broken in half, actually. You know, I mean, I look at it and I don't know. Like,
there's a lot of stuff to choose from right now.
Right. I see Esper Hero, and I'm like, okay, are you going to stay Esper Hero, or are they going to move to the control variant? Well, and I don't know the answer to that.
Esper Hero and Esper Control are two decks trying to do slightly different things. I mean, Esper Hero has controlling elements, but it's a little bit more of a mid-rangey deck, trying to value you out. And just, right, you know, it gets the hero down as early as it can, and then obviously just generates as much value as possible off of that card to try to overwhelm you with little critters. Whereas the control deck is just like, you know, let's stabilize, stall, 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 kill you.
Right. And that it is definitely, and I think the temples are helping.
The temples are helping.
I was down on the temples a little bit because I miss the tap lands, or the check lands, I should say.
Oh yeah, I miss those too.
But, you know, if we can't have check lands, I guess I'm okay with these, you know, the temples, and especially having a full set. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm really looking forward to when the shock lands rotate out. You guys, you know, at Wizards, hint, hint, nudge, nudge. Hey, you're going to be at Zendikar.
Fetchlands would be nice.
Fetchlands would be very nice.
I'm still holding out a sliver of hope that those get reprinted, although I would not be shocked at all if they weren't.
They might have to come up with a new mechanic. I think they're there's a part of me that thinks that the land that's already kind of a pseudo fetch land is like their test land.
Fabled
that.
Passage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's seeing a lot of play, and it's seeing, you know, in Arena, you know, it's great.
Yeah.
And since you're doing Arena for almost everything, you know.
No, it makes sense because, you know, they've always said that, oh, we don't like too many shuffle effects, blah, blah, blah. This is what we're trying to do instead. So if they don't reprint the actual fetch lands, which would be a mistake in my opinion, but if they don't, I think what they'll do is something like, you know, you sacrifice the land, you look at the top seven and put a land into play. Or something along those lines, because anything to make you avoid shuffling your deck. One thing, though, I was just thinking about this. In Pioneer, you have the enemy-colored pain lands, but you don't have the allied-colored pain lands.
That's true.
I would not be surprised if in Core Set 2021, A Dark Oar Wastes, Underground River, all those cards come back there instead.
Well, I think they'd bring them all back if they're going to do...
They
I
would.
Know. I mean,
well,
that's a lot.
They wouldn't have to reprint all 10, because they tend to print 5 in a set, and they'd print them in standard and maybe print the other 5 later on if they go back
or
to Dominaria.
Or print them in Alaria. Well, what's between Alaria and Corset? It's Alaria and then...
Well, it's Ikoria, Zendikar, Corset.
Ikoria, that's it.
And then we don't know.
No, I thought Zendikar was after rotation.
Is Zendikar after rotation?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because Ikoria is the next set. Then we have Corset 2021. Yeah, then Zendikar and stuff rotates. But then after that...
So we only have 2 more this set?
Yeah, 2 more sets and then rotation. That's 6 months.
That's true, you're right.
And then what'll happen is we don't know where we're going after Zendikar. Are we staying on Zendikar? Are we going to... You know, a lot of people want to go to the Viking world. A lot of people are thinking maybe this is where we trek in with the Phyrexians.
Apparently the Phyrexians...
Because Karn's got that whole genocide thing on his mind.
Nah, I know.
It's funny from somebody who used to be a pacifist. Now he's like, blow it all up. Kill them all.
So, getting back to it. I think the mono red deck is going to be there. You know what? Here's another deck, though. Gruul. Gruul got so many toys.
Gruul did get some toys.
I mean, the major one, obviously, being Klothys.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just busted out loud.
She.
He. You know what? Don't put your gender identity on
They.
It. You don't know. Yeah, they. I mean, just busted out loud. A 3-drop for 4/5. You need, 7 to make it a creature. And at the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, exile target card from a graveyard. If it was a land, hey, you get some stuff. But what the frack, dude?
I think that one will generally be used to drain your opponent. Because if it's not a land card, they lose 2 life and you gain 2 life. So I think that's what it'll be. You know what? I have a nice efficient card that's going to turn into a medium-sized creature if I get enough devotion. In the meantime, I'm going to poke you in the face a bunch of times.
Oh, and make it so that your stuff with escape doesn't come back.
Yeah, kill stuff with escape. So you got some built-in graveyard hate right there.
This might be my deck. This has my style.
Yeah, I mean...
This really does. And, of course, it has 4 Embercleaves, which I have.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just the hardest part for someone who's collecting the cards would be getting the Embercleaves, the Questing Beasts, and maybe the lands, but...
I have all those.
Yeah. I think I have 2 Questing Beasts.
I went through a bunch of my old boxes. I found old temples.
They work.
Like Temple of Abandoned, I've got them.
Yeah, they work.
So yeah, I'm thinking very seriously about it, like trying to put together. Maybe I'll put that together. You know, and because it is kind of, I like, Gruul's always fun and it hangs. But I mean, the problem is, unless I'm playing Esper Control, again, to go back to this, if you're playing Esper Control, it's kill them by turn 5 or you're dead.
Yeah, you gotta survive for a while. But I mean, you could drop Questing Beast on turn 3.
True.
And they have to deal with it because it, they can't block it and it hits you and their Planeswalkers at the same time.
Yeah.
And protection doesn't work with that.
No. I think we've kind of... So, I mean, is there any other decks we want to go over? Or?
Those seem to be the biggest new players. The other ones that are sort of popping up seem to be a little less popular at the moment. But we don't know,
We haven't had an event. They're not doing what they normally do. Like, this first weekend, we should have had... we had a GP, but it wasn't a standard GP.
It was Theros Limited.
Yeah.
It was sealed.
Like, we need... when's the next, SCG or...
Well, Worlds
is
in 2 weeks.
It's not Worlds. Worlds is in 2 weeks, but I mean,
That's the next standard event, I believe, is Worlds.
See, that's a problem. They used to really do some really great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this weekend you've got Team Constructed in Richmond.
Okay, well, the
so
standard
there'll
be
part
some
of that. Standard. Yeah. Then Philly on the 8th and 9th, which is funny because you're counter-programming the Worlds, another Team Constructed. Oh, so that'll be fun.
The Worlds is on the 14th.
Oh, okay, yeah. They're not counter.
Yeah, Worlds is on Valentine's Day, everybody.
Yeah, which, sorry, I'm busy.
Yeah, I'll be busy on Valentine's Day. I mean, I'll try to catch what I can, but that'll be really when... I think the metagame will be solved by that point.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. It's like you've got SCG Richmond, Philadelphia. I'm sure there's some GPs, but I mean, I miss coverage. Like, not having coverage, it has, and I think it's had an impact on Standard. Like, you used to have a, when we were having coverage of every GP, you had a healthy Standard. Because people are watching it going, hey, what decks are working? What's going on? I mean, yes, you can see the deck list and you can see, but you don't see how it's played. You don't see what, you know, you don't sit there and go, oh my gosh, that's my style. I could totally do that. Mm-hmm. You know?
No, that's a fair point. I mean, you know, the only difference is now there is sort of more to see of Standard because of Arena and everybody's streaming Arena. And you can only do Standard,
but everybody's
Arena.
Streaming Arena their own way. It's like, that's not going to give you really the meta game. That's going to give you, you know.
Well, it depends on which one you follow. If you're following, you know, like Jeff Hoolin or Crocky, Croxies? I don't know how to say his name. Newmont plays a lot of Pioneer. He plays a lot of Draft.
He does.
But there's other streamers out there that play a lot of Standard. So if you want to see Standard coverage, you can go, you know, you check out those streamers during the day. But that's the thing, too. It's usually during the day. So for people like us who work and maybe have, you know, questionable internet connections, so we can't stream when we're supposed to be working, we have to rely on stuff that happens on the weekend, and there's not a whole lot of that anymore. So you're right about that.
I do think that there's, you know, and they need to do something about it. But so yeah, this weekend they'll be team constructed. So we'll see. Some of the metagame will start getting figured out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I am too. You know what? But let's go ahead and break away from main. We're going to go to combat here.
Combat phase.
Okay. Well, this combat was your idea, sir. So, I mean, I will propose the question, but let you take your first shots in. So, we've gone over some decks. Which new deck archetype do we think is going to go tier one? And which do we think is going to be a flash in the pan? Aramis, you may go.
Well, I think that Flash in the Pan.
Is that for control?
No. Well, honestly, I don't know. I don't know. It has not been at the top for a while. Control in general really hasn't been at the top for a while. The mid range and speedier strategies have really sort of pushed it out.
Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with that.
I'm not going to be a homer, and I'm not going to say Esper Control going tier one. I'm not going to be a homer.
I would. I might make that argument. I was going to make that argument. I think Esper Control will go tier one.
I was going to say Mono Black Devotion. I think that'll maintain its status towards the top of the meta. I think just the ability to win out of nowhere with Gary is, you know, still very, very good. So it's not going to take much to be able to go turn four, turn five, hit you for seven, and, oh, wait, I still have creatures on the board. You've taken all this other extra damage. Kill you.
I do think that Esper Control is going to be I think it has too many toys. It really does.
Listen, and I'm certainly not going to disagree with you on that one.
I know that's just it. I'm arguing for Esper. I mean, how does this happen?
Cats and dogs living together.
I mean, I'm sorry. Agonizing Remorse is Thought Erasure, but, you know, hey,
well,
I don't need blue
thoughtsies.
Yet. It is.
It's very close to Thoughtseize.
You know, in fact, I think they took Thought Erasure. Did they take Thought Erasure out? Oh, no, there are four. It's giving you, you know, D-Spark was always there. You know, Mortify, Kyra's Wrath. These were all theirs. But the Prophecy, Metamize Prophecy, is legit.
It's
especially, hey, I've looked at your deck. Or I've looked at your hand twice, maybe. You know, by the time I get to play this or first. You forget about it. You know, it's, I think, and because, yes, you have to get to turn six to be able to play Dream Trawler, but once Dream Trawler is out, Dream Trawler is win con. And Ashiok is big Teferi on crack.
Well, I don't think, I'll say this, I don't think the new Ashiok is as good as big Teferi. Big Teferi drew you cards, untapped your lands, it flat out won the game by itself. This new Ashiok, I would say it's a situation where if big Teferi was a 10, the new Ashiok is like a 9.5. It's negligible. They're both extremely good at what they do. I think it's just it's coming at it from a slightly different angle, I think, is the difference. They're both planeswalkers you have to deal with immediately. I will say that.
Okay, let's go down this then, okay? First of all, it's not... Teferi's ultimate was to exile cards off your library.
From play.
From play, sorry.
Yeah.
This is taking it right out of your library, so it's helping to mill you.
Yeah, but
you're creating 2/3, which is not any small creature by any stretch.
Oh no, the creature is great.
And when and then, you know, the -3 is Teferi's old -3. We all know that.
It has a, and it has an extra rider attached to it.
Yeah,
which is good.
The exiling a card from hand is kind of nice. And then the but the big one is the -7. I mean, this is. I'm sorry. I think this is as good as Big Teferi.
Well,
I think
both of them basically, if you ultimate with either one of them, you should win the game.
Right.
You should, with either one. Ashiok has a slight advantage in that it can protect itself a little bit better in a certain respect because it makes creatures. But at the same time, Teferi can protect itself pretty good because it draws you cards and it untaps your lands. Like I said, they're both like it's like a 1/1A situation. They're right. Coming at the same thing from different angles. They're both planeswalkers that if they resolve and you untap with these cards, you should win.
I'd be very interested to see if I haven't looked at deck lists for Pioneer, but
to see
Pioneer
if it, to see
throwing
if
this and Teffy together, dicks. I mean, seriously. I mean, Atriss, I'm not a big fan of.
Atriss is good. Atriss is mind games. It's fact or fiction, and it's so bad for your opponent.
You're right.
It's so bad for your opponent. Although I will say this: having played the card, you have a little bit of that that issue where in Family Guy, where they have that there's that thing in the box. They don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But it could be a boat. It could be anything. It could be a boat. And so you get the face down cards, and you're like, "Do I need those? It could be anything. It could be a land, but it could be a boat." So it's hard. At the very least, even if it ends up being two lands, it draws you two cards.
Yeah, I guess.
It's very solid.
It is. I just don't know. If there was a card I wasn't going to use in this deck, I don't know if maybe I'd put one down on that and find something else to throw in. Like maybe the Thief of Sanity deck. Because I do love the fact that I get to take your shit.
Thief of Sanity comes in out of the sideboard again, so that's made a return. The thing about Atriss is that it's all about information. You as the Esper player already have way more information than your opponent does by the time you've cast Atriss, because you've very likely already looked at their hand a couple times. So you know what you need. They have no idea what you
need. Which is just
so they're looking
piss
at these
me
three,
off, man.
They're looking at these. Yeah, they're looking at these three cards going, okay, I think he needs this card, and then these two cards are useless. Or they'll be like, oh, I'm going to give him this card. I'm going to put these two cards here because I know he's not going to need those. And then you're like, they're face down. I don't need that Thought Erasure. I'll take those two cards, thank you, because I already have a Thought Erasure in my hand.
Right. I think Esper is going to be tier one again. I think it's going to go, maybe not top, I think it'll win an event. I think it's going to be one, you know what? It probably will win Worlds.
Ooh, there's a prediction.
I'm going to put that out there right now. Think about it. All right, Esper Control stops, you know, it doesn't have a lot of counter spells. But it's got enough removal to where, okay, you cast Embercleave, I'm going to remove the creature it's on, and you're going to have to pay to put it back on, and you can't pay to do it in instant speed. You're going to do it as a sorcery, so I can deal with it then, too.
Yeah, they'll have Teferi on the board, so they can't flash it in. They'll despark it in response.
Yeah, I mean, it's very... I think this deck, Esper Control, is probably going to have, especially in a best of three... Okay, best of one, no, of course. It's always aggro. It's always, you know, hey, I'm getting my shit out before you can do anything.
It's going to be up to how the sideboard is constructed, I think. And whoever's piloting the Esper deck, it's going to be how they think the metagame's going to look when they go into it. Because I noticed that's Esper's biggest weakness, is because a lot of its tools are so specialized. Yeah. When you go to sideboard, you're like, well, I can't take these out. These I kind of need. But I want to put these in.
You're almost always going to... That's just it. I look at Atriss and I go, okay, that is a card I would take out. Okay, so yes, you get to, you know, put two in my one in my hand or whatever, and you get to play a mind game or what have you with me. But, you know, yeah, I would probably... That would be almost... I could see myself almost always sideboarding that. That's why I don't like Atriss.
I don't like the fact that I'm
the one that has to choose. Like, it'd be one thing if I played it and said, okay, here's three cards, you know, but I'm choosing. You know, I'm getting one in my hand. You're my opponent, if I'm not mistaken. It's, I play Atriss, they look at the top three cards of my library, set their face down. You're putting me on that.
Yeah, but you already have information based on what's in your hand. You probably already know what's in their hand. So you know what you need more than they know what you need. And
it's one of those cards that I think is a little too...
Having played the deck,
yeah,
I have yet to sideboard Atrus out.
And okay, that's interesting.
It's won me a lot of games because being able to dig those three cards deep and
true.
Find things that you need. Now, will you whiff occasionally and then pick the wrong pile? Yes, but that's fact or fiction, too. That would happen
that's
with
true.
That card. You would occasionally pick a pile that you thought you needed, but you didn't. And the difference is now you have, you know, there's two cards that are face down. You don't know exactly what they are, but it's never a good choice for your opponent. It's never
true.
Good news for them. Because even if you're drawing two more lands, that gives you more mana to pay for your spells.
Okay, I guess.
And it's a 3/2 menace attached to it, so it's also a win condition.
Yeah.
Menace is powerful.
I guess. I don't know. I look at that would be the one I would think. The sideboard thing, you're right. I mean, you know, Dovin's Veto you're going to bring in for, you know, if they're really aggro. You know, Noxious Grasp if they're playing green or white, you know.
Well, Vetoes would be more for the control mirror. You don't want to bring in counter spells for aggro because there's just too much stuff flying at you.
I guess you can make a valid point on that.
You want to bring in a couple more board wipes, any more instant yeah. life gain you can get to.
Kaya's Wrath,
you know, things of that nature. Depending, if they're black-red, obviously the Devout Decrees. So.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it's one of those decks that you can't go into a tournament having never played it or having any experience with that archetype because it's complicated because there's a lot of decisions to make. I mean, it's not to say that other decks aren't hard because they're all difficult to play and pilot correctly.
Right.
But Esper Control really punishes you for making bad decisions if you're the one playing the deck.
Here's the thing. I think another reason I would switch Atrus for Thief of Sanity. Question, with Thief of Sanity, do I own the card that I exiled, or they own it, right?
They
but
own
it's face
the card.
Down.
You
so
exiled
you're...
their card face down. You own the card still, but it's exiled face down. They don't know what it is.
Right. Well, no, it's there. If I threw Thief of Sanity, I'm taking something off theirs. They still own it. It's face down. They don't know what it is, but
right.
it's in there. Yeah. Here's the thing about that. Like, I think Thief of Sanity and Ashiok are, like, high. Because if you can ultimate Ashiok,
oh, absolutely.
Filled,
yes,
you know.
You're totally right. Same thing applies with Banishing Light. If you Banishing Light one of their permanents and then Ashiok, you can still cast that card because it's exiled.
I guess I see that. But that's just it. I mean, I'm just not sold on Atrus. Maybe I need to play it a little bit. We should definitely do a stream for the Patreon, you
yeah.
know, of us kind of screwing around with decks.
Sure, absolutely, anytime.
Because I'd like to see that get played. Because, again, I'm just not high on it. I mean, I look at it, but I still think Esper's going to be... I think Esper's going to win Worlds.
Yeah, well,
I really do.
I'll say this, too. I was sort of in your position before I started playing the deck. When I was reading Atrus, I'm like, it's good. But how good is it really? I'm not really sure. Because it does
seem... And I understand
seem...
the whole factor fiction thing. I get
yeah.
that.
But like I said, having played the card, I think it's a crucial piece. Now, not to say that it can never get boarded out. There might be situations where you would board it out, especially for Thief of Sanity, because
right.
it's cheaper. So maybe against certain aggressive decks, like maybe Mono Red, because maybe they don't see too many creatures game one, so they board out some removal so you can sneak in the Thief, because they both die to shock anyway.
Right.
And at least Thief of Sanity flies.
Right.
Although,
that's
like I said,
kind of it. I would almost sideboard Atrus in instead, you know, Thief, and then if I'm playing a heavy aggro deck, then maybe Atrus. I don't know. It's definitely interesting, but I'm going to go with Esper as being tier one, and you're kind of going with
I think the mono red.
Mono red.
Or no, not mono red. I was talking about devotion.
Mono black devotion. Yeah, mono
yeah.
black devotion.
Although,
so
like
what
I said before,
be the
I'm not disagreeing with you on Esper. I didn't want to be a homer.
So I might have won combat. What do you think is going to be the flash in the pan?
Flash in the pan. Let me take a quick little peek here. I think the Thassa combo decks are going to be flash in the pan.
Really?
Yeah. I think people are going to figure it out. Because I haven't seen too much of it yet.
I haven't either, but I'm still thinking that much like Temur Reclamation, it's in the lab.
Yeah, I think it's still in the lab. I don't think it's going to do anything until maybe the next set.
The thing of it is, I mean, if you, the, you know, the idea that, I guess, what colors do you play? Because you want the Firstborn, which means are you going to go Teemer, Thassa?
Well, yeah, well, I mean, you wouldn't even really want claim the Firstborn. You'd want the Akroan War or even something else along those lines.
Claim the Firstborn is a nice, quick, easy one.
It is,
You know, to kind of...
Anything that steals anything, even temporarily, right, is what you want.
Because mana costs three or less, they'll also take tokens.
Yes.
So if they have a monster token out there with, you know, equipment attached to it, well, hey, thanks for playing. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if I could agree with that. I think it's waiting to be busted.
Yeah.
She's got way too much upside.
She is really,
and
really good.
We live in a world of Agent of Treachery that could take your fracking lands.
Yeah.
Okay. And
I've been on the wrong side of it a few times, and it's
annoying.
Feel like it's extremely annoying, but I feel like it's missing enough at this point where it's not going to be too much of a factor before Worlds. And again, with all of these that we're saying, I would love to be wrong. I don't care if I'm wrong, because we're just making predictions sort of, you know, out of our butts here.
And the reason I say we have to do Teemer is that I don't think you can play this without the ramp. I think you have to have green to ramp.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you have
because
to have
you
have to have like
wait until
Paradise
turn
Druid.
7 to bring out Treachery.
Yeah,
you need to get Treachery out on turn 5.
Yeah, you need Arboreal Grazers, you need Paradise Druids, you need Growth Spiral, you need Uro.
So maybe it's what do you splash red?
You could splash red. Yeah, you only need a couple of cards in red.
Yeah. That's an interesting. I might try to I've been looking at that, like I kind of want to try to put something together on it, cuz I just love the idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then there's the other side of it that's like, you know, but yeah, you may not be wrong. I don't know, though. I think somebody's going to figure it out, especially when you get to things like the, you know, don't forget, we have the elementals to deal with.
Oh, yeah. Thassa Elementals is a really cool deck, too.
Yeah. And it's just.
Yeah, you're right. Well, here's the good thing, though. The best thing about all of this
is we this.
Well, this sort of feels like standard about a year ago. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there. It's not all variations on the same archetype. Control sort of sneaking back in. Aggro is still there. There's legitimate
aggro
combo with fires.
Aggro will always be there. Aggro is always going to be there. Mm-hmm. I don't think you cannot have, you know.
I'm hoping that Thassa's Oracle, that's seen some play in Pioneer with Inverter of Truth, but I'm hoping that sees some play in Standard because that's just a cool card. I like that card a lot.
Yeah, I think Thassa Elemental is, well, I think Elementals will always be a deck that is good until it's not. And it's going to come to the point where it's not going to be. I think, you're right, the Arboreal Grazer, Hydroid Gracies, Risen Reefs, I need two more of those. I need two more of the Omnaths, too. Oh, wait, I might have two of those. If I was going to build, I could build this. You know, I've got four Calves of Thorns. I've got, you know, Treacheries. Mm-hmm. The Cavaliers are just they're great cards.
Yeah, they're very, very good.
There isn't a bad one.
They turn on the Cavalier Thorns especially, it turns on Escape, it gets you lands, it brings stuff back if it ever happens to die. And then with Thassa you just blink it and then do it again. And it has reach.
And it has
So it's like, oh, Dream Trawler, I'm bigger than you.
I don't know that I could sit there and say that Thassa, you know, Thassa decks. So do you consider Teemer Elementals a Thassa deck, even though she's in it? Because Sultai Ramp, technically, I think, has that. Or not Sult. Yeah. Sultai Ramp does not have Thassa.
No, Sultai Ramp doesn't play Thassa. She's not seeing a lot of play in the quote-unquote top decks right now.
Well, she is in the Teemer Elementals, which is, what, 6? 7? No, I guess it's not. Simic Ramp is probably the biggest one that's seeing play in.
Yeah, I haven't seen too many decks that see a lot of Thassa. I've seen her in Arena, and I've seen a couple of lists online that look promising. But it's just I feel like they haven't quite figured it out yet. They're trying to find the best list, and like I said, up until Worlds, I don't see it being the deck to beat.
No, I think
it's probably going to be Jeskai Fires.
Aggro. Yeah, I think Jeskai Fires is the best. You know,
that's a combo deck.
Yeah, and I'm surprised I haven't built it because I love playing combo. You know me.
Yeah, I like combo too. I'm missing Cavaliers.
I'm missing the Sphinxes of Foresights, though. That's
yeah, those
what I'm
two.
Yeah,
I have a couple of those.
But. You know, it's weird. Like, I'll get boxes, but for some reason, I never go big on the core. I'm like, I got a box.
Well, we talked about this too. Core set 2020 didn't feel like a core set.
It really didn't, but I only did get one box of core set. Did I get two? No, I got one. I got one of Corset. I got a box and a half of Throne.
Yeah, because
Throne was broken.
You were looking for Sorens and Knights of the Ebon Legion and stuff like that.
Because I was playing the Vampire deck for a while.
Yeah.
Still love the Vampire deck.
See, I think it's safe to say that you probably win this combat. I mean,
yes!
I will happily surrender it if you're right and Esper Control is number one, because you know exactly what I'll be playing.
I know. That's just it. I mean, you're going to piss me. I'm going to be sitting here saying Esper Control, and then there's going to be a Monday we're doing the show, and I'm going to be like, yeah, so you played Esper Control, you son of a bitch. You're going to just be like, yes, I know, and you told me I should.
Yep. I'm just following your advice.
I'll take the win. Let's go ahead and get into main phase two.
Main phase.
All right. Second main phase. So let's see here. What we're doing is you wanted to do an early look at the worlds, which I'm kind of down with.
Yeah.
Especially when you talk about draft. You're right. Because, I mean, to set this up, a few weeks ago, it already came out that worlds is almost going to be 100% draft or 100% arena.
Yep. It's on arena.
So, oh my God, if they don't do pods.
Yeah. So here's.
Fuck you. Forget my language.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
If they don't do pods. Screw you. That is honestly, if you don't do pods, how do you, not to put my tinfoil hat on, but how in the hell do you not sit there and say that, okay, how do I know Wizards didn't, you know, code it to where he's getting all of this best stuff? And, you know, I'm sorry. An RNG should not be how you should not win Worlds with an RNG.
So here's some backstory for people who may not know what we're ranting about. They announced a couple weeks ago, like Benson said, that Worlds is going to be on Arena. They announced a couple days ago, maybe Thursday-ish, that the formats for Arena, for the Worlds, World Championships, would be Standard and Draft. Here's the thing. Arena only has bot drafting right now, so there's some rumors flying around. How are they going to figure this out? How are they going to do this? We know that they say they're working on 8-person pod drafts in Arena. So if you're the eternal optimist and you are on Wizard's side for a lot of things, your mindset's saying, hey, maybe this is where they premiere 8-person drafts on Arena. Maybe they have it set up because obviously it's only a 16-player pool. You know, they can get away with this. They don't have to worry about as much of the potential issues floating around because it'll be, their own private setup, almost like a beta, and they can get it all done. Barring that, the next best option is they do the drafts in paper, but then import their deck lists into Arena.
I'd be okay with that.
The problem with that, though, is that right now Direct Challenges only allow 60-card decks. They don't allow 40-card decks. So that's another update they would have to make to the game. The other option, the worst option that most people are thinking of, is that they do paper drafts with paper play. I don't think that's what they're going to do.
Well, no. The worst option is Arena draft with bots.
That's the worst option of the four, but I don't think they're going to do that either. I think that's even less likely.
I don't think they'd do paper because they went out of their way to say Arena and they really want to showcase this product.
I'm going to be the eternal optimist here. I'm going to be the optimist and say that I think that Worlds will have pod drafts. They will have it on Arena, ready to go, at least for this tournament. Maybe they don't premiere it for the general public for another 6 months after that, but at least they show they have the capability and that it's almost ready to go. I think that would be amazing publicity for Arena.
I don't think you can. You cannot beta test during Worlds.
Well, I'm not thinking it would be a beta test. I'm thinking they would have it ready to go.
Then you need to release it.
They wouldn't have it ready to be scaled up.
Why in the world would you not release it unless it's about the money?
But
you just replaced bot drafting, so it's not. You already have your economy. Like, there's absolutely no reason that if they can do it, they wouldn't release it.
Well, apparently
they know everybody hates bot drafting.
Apparently, this was actually available in the alpha test.
Okay,
they had 8-person pod drafting available in the alpha test because it Because when they were developing the game, the whole point of it was pick up and play whenever you want. And there's nothing worse, if you ever draft on a Magic Online, having to wait for someone who timed out to log back in and pick their card, then having to build your deck, and then having to hopefully get a match. You know, the matchup part of it was a little bit easier, but the drafting part was what took the longest, because you had to be able to sit down and wait for half an hour, 45 minutes for the draft to complete. Whereas in Arena, you just go click, 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 and you're done with your draft in, you know, 5 minutes. So that might have been their concern, is that, you know, initially, hey, we're going to go on mobile, we're going to do this, we're going to let you play when you're on the toilet, like you love to say. So I think they pulled it because of that concern, but now having the game released the way that it is, I don't see how it's going to work on mobile.
It's not right now.
So they have to do pod drafting.
Here's the deal. I don't think they're going to do pod drafting. I don't think they're going to do paper. I think they're going to do bot drafting. I think it's going to be the absolute worst idea. And
so you're going to be the pessimist.
It's not the pessimist. It's the realist at this point. And again, that pisses me off. Already we have a problem with the thankfully they turned off the RNG, or the hand fixing, you know, for best of three. Thank God. Because, you know, then you are, an RNG is deciding who wins. Okay, your RNG, which is a random number generator for those out there,
RNG
would be deciding, you know, because an RNG decides your land base and all that. It's truly random and you're, whatever, go up a rope, I don't care. But, you know, a bot drafting, you are in essence RNGing worlds. You are putting it in the hands of a random number generator. I don't like the idea of bot drafting. However, I don't see how they can do anything else. Unless you, like you said, they're just going to switch to paper, which, okay, it's not a great, but you know what? Okay. You know what? You could dial back the whole, we're going to be doing Arena at Worlds, and then say, you know what? But for drafting, we realize it's not ready, so we've decided to do paper to maintain the integrity of the game.
Well, do you at least hope that you're wrong and that they do pull that off?
I do hope I'm wrong. Well, yes and no. Because on one hand, I hope I'm wrong because it would be nice to have it in Arena. Mm-hmm. In another sense, though, no, because I'm okay with... I like paper. I like seeing them do paper. I like seeing them shuffle and then having to put the cards and then hand it off. And I like that. There's a certain... It's kind of fun to watch them draft paper.
I agree.
And I've never
you.
Seen an online draft covered in Twitch or anything like that. I don't know how interesting it would be because it's a different, you know, I don't know. I mean, would they have 4 windows open? Would they have 8 windows open? How are we seeing their draft?
The way they normally cover drafts when they're in papers, that they'll pick
one player.
They'll pick one or two. Well, they'll have like 2 or 3 players that they'll have cameras on at the table, and they'll focus on one for the actual draft, and then they'll go back and replay the draft for the other two. So, you know, if it was PVDR's draft, they would have him on the camera for a while, and then once he was done, they'd go to see what Javier Dominguez drafted, and then after that, they'd go and see what Autumn Burchette drafted, and then they go to the other table and draft them as well. So what they could still do that if they did 8-person pod on Arena. You focus there on their screen. It's just like you're watching a streamer draft. They do their picks. You know, the commentators are talking about what their strategy might be at this point. Then they switch to the other screens, or they could do like you said, they could probably do a little more feasibly multiple screens up at the same time, especially maybe the person to their left, immediately to their right, to see how, you know, being fed those colors affects the draft. I would love to see them be able to pull that off, just so we can see progress in the game's development as well, to say, hey, look, this is actually on the way. It's on the horizon. Maybe this is a big surprise for everyone, saying, hey, it's here at Worlds. Next week, it's live for everybody else.
And hey, Donald Trump may not win the presidency. I mean, really, at the end of the day, it's pie in the sky.
As much as
I'd love to see both of those things occur, I don't think either one is going to occur.
Well, I would say like the absolute best case pie in the sky scenario would be they pull off 8-person pod drafts on Arena for Worlds, and they announce during Worlds that during the next system update, this will be available for everyone. And I think if that happens, people will go nuts, and it'll be great for Arena and great for the game. But like you said, it's Wizards. Probably won't happen.
And I'm sorry, it feels like beta testing. You should put it out before. Plus, you should put it out before so that they can test with it.
Like, the wizard. This is another dead horse to beat. We've talked about this pretty much every week on Arena.
What?
How about how the game should be working smoothly now and,
right,
you know, before they try to add all this other blingy, you know, bells and whistles crap, just make sure the game runs smoothly.
This isn't about a game running smoothly at this point. There are two problems. Okay, say they have it for Worlds, and they only have it for Worlds. Okay, my thought process is it's not going to be... It is far easier to beta test with millions or thousands or however many people are playing. You know what? If you really want to find out if it's going to work, open it up for one of these free events or one of these 200, you know, gem events on a weekend that you play until, you know, play until you lose, or you can draft as many times as you want. So because, in essence, we would be acting as a beta tester. Mm-hmm. The problem is that if you, and then it also allows these guys to get used to the interface so that they can be prepared for Worlds. What I think is going to happen is, that's why I think they're going to do Arena, they're going to do a bot draft, and people are just going to bitch about it. And, you know, some guy's going to be like, well, a random number generator told me my win and blah, blah, blah. Or they'll do paper. I don't think they're going to go for the pods yet. They can't.
I think they can. Because here's, it's almost like a combat, second combat.
Wow, jeepers.
They have to do pod either in paper or in arena. They can't do bot drafting for this because there's only 16 players. So the whole point of draft is being able to read signals and build decks based on what you're past and have an idea of what else is in your pod so that you have an idea of what you might be playing up against later on. And doing it with,
right,
16 different sets of bot drafts, that's 16 card pools. So, you know, you shouldn't be able to run into someone who has the same cards as you.
The same deck as you.
The same deck
Imagine
as you.
Imagine if they do Throne of Eldraine Draft. It's like, hey, well, it'll milling for everybody.
Yeah, it'll be Theros. But yeah, but so what I think will happen is they'll either have the pod drafting just for this tournament. You know, I can't imagine it'll be that hard to have it set up for 16 people. Although, again, asterisk, this is Wizards, and I hate to bash on Wizards, but they do this all the time.
And I think it could break. What I'm worried about is it will break during Worlds.
Well, I mean, they're going to have it on their own dedicated closed system.
Sure they are.
They do all the time.
I know, they say that, but I don't know how much of that's true. I don't know if they have a server sitting there that's their own, or if they're, you know, going through the convention centers and going to the internet and hitting their, you know, it's Wizards. I'm fully believing that it's sitting on a freaking server in the middle of the, I don't know. I would think they would have a server on site, but who knows?
Yeah, I'm trying to be
positive.
I'm trying to be positive, and I'm thinking the whole purpose of it is the fact that this is Worlds. This mm-hmm. is the premier tournament for the entire year. This is the one that you want everything to go right on. So I'm thinking they're going to put all their eggs in one basket on this one. And yes, Josh, bots do suck. They are terrible. They're so stupid. So that's why I'm thinking that since they are doing draft, since they are playing arena, they're either going to do paper 8-person pods like they normally do, or they're going to surprise people and do arena 8-person pod drafting with or without a guarantee of it coming relatively soon thereafterwards, because we, like I said, we already know they're working on it.
Okay. Well, really quickly, before we get on out of here, we did get an email from Jamie. I do kind of want to go over it a little bit. We're getting towards the end here. So he did email us, and he said, hey, guys, so after barely touching standards since original Theros, wow, I decided to try Arena out and fell in love with a mono-black deck that puts cats in ovens. Yeah, welcome to a conversation 3 months ago. He's like, I can't remember the list entirely, but what he has is the 4 cats, 4 ovens, 3 plague crafters, 4 Yarrex Fenlurkers, 4 knights of the Ebon, 4 murderous riders, 3 Garys, 3 foreboding fruits, 1 rankle, spot of mayhem, 3 of them, 1 murder, 2 Myers Grafts, and then swamps. He's like, spawn has been much better than rankle as I'm trying to be a creature heavy midrange deck. I've actually had a high win rate against some decks that were once a thing like Phoenix and GB Adventures. Hopefully, if you're going to use this list, it will give you the same win rate as me. Note, I'm at work, and this list is what I remember my list to be. There may be more. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. So what do you think of this list?
I mean, it looks very, very similar to the Mono Black Devotion deck that's already out there.
It just doesn't have the devotion stuff.
It doesn't have the it has Gary's. And that's
right,
really
but it doesn't have Alphavos or whatever it is.
Well, Yara doesn't really care about devotion. And right. Timorous not really in the devotion deck
Timorous,
either.
That's what I was looking for.
I would probably say take a look at that devotion list. Take a look at your list. He says he was having, he doesn't have enough wild cards right now, but, build up, do some drafts, build some wild cards up.
Or you'll get the cards you need.
Build something a little bit.
Draft to get the cards
you need. Yeah, build something a little bit closer to the mono black devotion deck. I think you're on the right track as far as that's concerned. I mean, it looks definitely like it would hang against a lot of different decks because, again, just the ability to be like, tap 5, oops, take 12.
All right. So, Jamie, thanks. He's one of our big fans. He emails us almost every week, so I really appreciate you writing in. Let's see. What else? Do we have anything else going on in this second main, or should we just go to end?
I think we're pretty good. I know that with his deck, he never has to worry about color screw.
Yeah, that's always fun. So let's just hit.
End step.
Okay, so both Erebus and I want to remind you that while we're sitting here, we're picking up our, cards, putting them in the boxes, rolling up our play mats, putting our pizza boxes by the trash, because damn it, your mother still doesn't work here. Both Erebus and I want to remind you that we stream Arena on the Plains Talkers podcast channel occasionally, and we're going to be doing a lot more streaming on our super secret Facebook group for our patrons. So sometimes we may be streaming and not streaming to you guys. You can catch most of our public stuff on Twitch. It's Plains Talkers Podcast, and just look it up there. And you can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73.
And you can also follow me on Twitch at RMECWRX. Once we get going with the Patreon streaming and everything else, I imagine I'll be going on to Twitch a little bit more often as well myself, just to, get some games in. And I'll let you guys know when that's going to be happening, maybe through a tweet or whatever. And, I'll get to that in a minute. But
let's be honest here, guys. The more patrons we get, the more we'll be able to Twitch because we have wives. But if we say, hey, we have support, they're going to be like, oh, no, go ahead. Here you go. They'll pull out our chair for us. They might even bring us beer. I don't know. Archie would if I asked.
Well, they would bring you beer.
Yes. What, Pam would bring me beer? That's awesome.
Yeah,
Pam, listen, if you can get in the car, just start over now. I could use anything wet, yellow, preferably
in
a bottle.
Whoa. That can go to some weird places.
I understood that. I realized where we were headed, and I realized I'm just going to hit eject on that right now.
A little bit R. Kelly IPA?
Yeah. God damn it. Oh, I'm keeping that in, too. That's staying in the show. Oh.
I win.
Oh, dude, you got me doing the Ernie laugh.
So anyway, while he's over there collecting himself. When I do stream on Twitch, I make sure that I also simulcast on the Plains Talkers podcast channel. So, if you follow one of us, you're going to see us on that channel at the very least. But if Twitter is more your speed, remember I mentioned that earlier, you can find our show at Plains Talker Pod on Twitter. We're going to be a lot more active on that now that we have the Patreon going and everything else. We're going to try to maybe do some polls and things of that nature. So, keep an eye on that. Like, follow, and subscribe.
Can't believe you said that. There's a reason it's not in our official wording is because like, follow, and subscribe is what everybody says. We're cooler than that. I want to be counterculture, man. But we have a Patreon, so, we lost that.
We have to shill.
Well, listen, my personal Twitter is at WR Benson. Now, listen, I really don't tweet that much. Lately, I've just been up there to follow, David Hasselhoff's singing career and R. Kelly's new IPAs. Ugh. So, that got dark.
Extra
so did his IPA because he wasn't drinking enough water. Anyway, you can always follow.
Oh, we're off the rails.
Okay. You.
Oh, God dang it.
Oh, you can also follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/plainstalkern with no S. You take the last S off for savings or shavings if you're R. Kelly. And and follow our page.
Wow. Finally, if we haven't lost you by now, if you're still here, thank you.
Oh, this isn't even beer or anything. This is just good old Will.
Oh, boy. Finally, you can send us emails and even ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section, where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. Limited choices, not beer choices, because that's all Benson.
Yes, and I would be glad to send you guys beer choices, or you can send me beer. That would be great, too. Sorry.
Just be mindful of international shipping laws, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, our address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
And finally, folks, you can. We are in the middle of a iTunes review contest for this month. You have one more week to go. We're going to do a drawing next month for everyone who's put in one. So please go to iTunes, leave us a review. You know, 5 stars would be great because it does help them promote the show. We are starting to show up. If you start looking for standard MTG podcasts, we're showing up. We're not number one, but we're there. Your reviews in iTunes will help us. So if you want to get more eyes on the show and more people watching with you, you know, because everybody loves a community, please go and do that. And like I said, every month we're going to give away some arena codes. But with that, I want to thank you guys very much for listening. We really enjoyed having you here tonight. We've enjoyed laughing with you and crying with you while we laugh. But we're going to back on out of here. We will be back next Monday right around the 7 o'clock hour to do this show again if you want to watch us live on Facebook. Otherwise, you're listening to us on your podcast. It'll show up hopefully Tuesday morning. But for Aramis Perez, my name is Will Benson, and I want to thank you guys for listening again. Have a wonderful week. We will see you next time. And remember to always leave some of your lands untapped because you never know when you need them. Take care.